All right, 2 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I want to read one verse and then we're going to pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. This has been on my heart probably about a month for this service, knowing about the graduates, but I believe all of us can learn and grow from this. I thought of this passage and let God help us. Amen. None of us, and I'll say this, none of us have arrived. We still growing in the Lord, still learning, still going forward. I pray anyhow for the glory of God. And so we want to look at this morning. 2 Samuel 18, you will and able stand this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 18, I'm reading just verse number 9. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and reading just verse number 9. The Bible says, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. He was taken up between heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you now for the opportunity one more time to stand and to preach the word of God. I pray now for just a few minutes. You give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, for a man cannot preach without the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us here today. Lord, we ask you to remove the enemy, the opposing forces that would try to hinder the word of God. I pray, may your word find freedom to go forth and find its resting place in our hearts today. Lord, if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray this will be the day, the hour, the place that they get born again. Help us as your people, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to read this verse one more time. The Bible says, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. I'm interested in the last part of this verse where the Bible says, and the mule that was under him went away. How to preach, God helping me just a few minutes on this subject. The mule walked on. The mule walked on. We're going to use this mule as a type and picture of sin. Sin will carry you to a lot of places and to do a lot of things. But there is coming a moment in your life where sin will leave you in utter ruin and destruction. Hey, for some that's lost, you'll wind up in the lake of fire. Sin will carry you all the time, but there's a time that sin walks away and leaves you out to death and destruction. Now understand me this morning. Sin is not a plaything. Sin is not a trivial thing, but sin is a serious thing. Now, you graduates, I'm preaching this for one purpose for you. You're entering a new part of your life, and there's a lot of freedom you're now going to experience, and you think there's been temptation. You think there's been the attack of sin, the flesh, and the devil. You're about to even get it more intensified than you could ever imagine, and you're going to have to be careful, for sin will take you to places you really don't want to go. Amen. And may I say this to all of us, young, middle-aged, senior saint, every one of us better be much afraid of sin and desire to stay as far away from sin as we possibly can be. Amen. We're in a day where folk don't think sin's bad. They think it's all right. It ain't a big deal. But it is a big deal. Sin ruins lives. Sin doesn't help anybody. Amen. Sin is, let me just word it like this. There's never been anything good come out of sin.
That's right.
Not one thing. Sin has been destructive from its formation in the heart of Satan before he was cast out of heaven. That's right. And it's been a downward spiral since, and it's been death and destruction in its path every day since that day. Amen. I've thought about Absalom's life. There's three things about sin that we see is true in this man Absalom's life. And it'll be true in your life. It'll be true in my life. For we cannot handle sin. Sin will handle us. You've got to stay away from it. You've got to say no to it. You've got to live your life in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And understand this and hear me this morning. That the thing the Bible teaches us of being filled with the Spirit is of great importance. For he said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. You want victory over sin? Let the Spirit of God control your life. Let the Spirit of God guide your life. It'll keep you out of sin. Amen. By the way, you'll never have the fruit of the Spirit till you first feel the Spirit, and that's true. Amen. But we see Absalom here, and the three things concerning sin that we see as we think about the mule walked on. First of all, let me say this. Sin deceives. It lies. It's underhanded. It'll fool you if you're not real careful. Amen. Now this ain't shouting material, but it's right preaching. Amen. Sin will deceive you. It deceived Absalom. You listen to me? He thought, boy, back yonder in 2 Samuel chapter number 13, when he was associated with the death of Ammon, we find that he no doubt sin told him, you're the king's son. You'll be okay. You'll get by with it. You're the king's son. Well, he didn't. Judgment came, amen. Problems arose out of it. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Friends, sin will deceive you. Say, well, it's all right. You go to church, it'll be okay. God will forgive you later. Hey, there's consequences that are associated when you sin. You never sin and get by. You never sin without repercussions. That's right. Hey, all throughout his life, Absalom was deceived by sin. Sin got to lying to him. Say, you deserve to be king. That's right. When David let him come back from exile, man, he began to steal the hearts of the children of Israel. Now, I want to say something right here. I preach this on the road. I'll preach it here. You watch somebody that is trying to take your heart away from the pastor and the local church. You mark that rascal. And I said it right. Amen. You be leery of somebody that wants to run down the church and run down the preacher, run down the deacons, run down the Sunday school team. You mark that individual. They're dangerous. My friend has a rattlesnake. And they're just as poisonous. Amen. That's right. Hey, Absalom began to steal the hearts of the people. He began to lie to them. And said, there ain't nobody can take care of your problems. You need a judge, and there ain't no judge. He said, but oh, if I was judge, oh, I know your cause is just and good and right, I'd do something for you. And he began to believe the lies of sin and thought he deserved the throne. He deserved to be the one on top. Friend, Absalom got deceived by sin. Hey, Absalom got deceived when he started his rebellion against David also, and David had to run for his life. He thought, well, this is going to work out the way I thought it would. I'm about to get to be king. I'm about to run this thing. I'm going to finally have the reins in my hand. I'll do as I please. But sin lied to him, deceived him again. And friend, he doesn't wind up the king. He winds up, my friend, in a mess as it goes on. That's right. And young folk, you graduates, everybody in this building, you by internet, you understand something today. Sin is very deceptive. Amen. Everybody's thought to themselves sometime, I can handle this. This ain't big. This is something small. Do you know somebody becomes a professional thief did not start out robbing banks? You listen to me? It just stealing a piece of candy. That's right. Just something small. Something people, oh, that's no big deal. They're just sowing wild oats. Oh, sin's deceptive. Sin's telling you it's okay and it ain't okay. It's going to have dire consequences when it all comes around. Amen. Hey, sin is very deceptive. Let me say number two, sin dominates. It not only deceives, it dominates your life. Amen. See, Absalom, it started with that thing. And listen, as far as the world's concerned there in 2 Samuel 13, he was just in having this man killed. In the eyes of the world. And what that man does was very wicked and ought to have been dealt with, yes, but not by his hands. Amen. And we find that sin deceived him there, and then it dominated the rest of his life. It wasn't just one more day, but every day of the rest of his life, sin had its claws in him and controlled everything that Absalom did. Hey, you look up here this morning, sin will dominate you. Hey, some of you here today, Brother Tim talked about this just a while ago. It's amazing how much talk I begin to hear in passing through talk folk, whether it's a hospital, wherever it is, and how people think today that alcohol's really not a big deal. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That Bible does not, listen to me, it does not condone drinking alcohol. Your Bible does not condone it. It condemns it. Did you hear me? Amen. Oh, they won't take verses out of context and twist it. No. Hey, you understand something. And hear me well. When that verse, he said, and be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hey, wine will lead to excess. You hear me? Because, oh, you're saying, oh, I'm just going to be a social drinker. Yeah, till the bottom falls out. And then you'll be a drunk. You'll pitch a drunk. Hello. Amen. It'll begin to dominate your life. Hey, drugs. People want to say, well, I just want something to make me feel better for me. I just need a high. I just need something that let me really just feel good. Hey, it'll dominate your life. Ain't nothing good's ever come out of it. Amen. Hey, I'm just preaching what's right. Sin dominate. It doesn't allow you to do what you want. It'll control your life. You see, when you become into that alcohol crowd and begin to drink more and more, you get to craving it more and you can't do anything without it. Amen. See, when you started out, it wasn't you drinking all day long. That's when you come home from work. Or when you went out with the friends. Hello. But then after a while, it got to be, well, I'll just have one during lunch today. I'm on this thing. I'm on camp a while. You just might as well understand it. Amen. I'm going to preach against sin because that's what that Bible instructs me to do. Amen. I'm saying it'll dominate your life. And before long, you're going to barely be out of bed. You're going to need a drink. You're going to need a drink a little bit later. And as the day goes by, then you'll need a whole lot to drink before you go to bed at night. And it's on and on and on. It dominates your life. Drugs are the same way. You just think, I'll do it at the party on Friday or Saturday night. And then before you know it, you got to have at least to get out of the bed in the morning. And then you need another on down the road to help you through the rest of the day. And on it goes. Hey, sin dominates. Amen. Hey, even gambling. And that ain't right neither. God intends for you to work. I will say this, God don't have welfare, he has workfare. Amen. He intends for us to earn our living. You that are able physically, and God takes care of those that aren't able. There's provision in Scripture for that. But when you're able, you're supposed to work. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm just going to gamble a little bit. Now, preach, I just do the $5, $10, $20 ticket right now. Right now. But when you win that next little bit off that scratch, you go, you know, if I could win that with this one, what if I went up to that big one? Hello? Oh, I know what you're saying. Because, see, sin's deceived you. I tithe on it. Amen. I'd give it to missions. No, you wouldn't. You say, well, if I won the million, if I won a few million, I'd just quit. I wouldn't play. Oh, no. You look at these people that's won all this and look at their lives. It didn't end there. Amen. Why? Sin dominates. Amen. Hey, immorality. That's right. Hey, all these perverted sexual sins of our day, they will dominate, they will control your life. Amen. Hey, I'm preaching right now. Hey, those look like big sins. Let's talk about what you don't think is a big sin, about that lying you're doing. It'll dominate you too. You tell one lie, you're going to tell five more to cover up the first one. That's right. And by the way, you don't have to teach a child to lie. They come out of the womb lying. Amen. Well, hey, you think I'm crazy, don't you? You mamas of these younger ones, as they begin to get more aware of their surroundings, they'll cry just to get your attention. They ain't hungry. They ain't dirty. They just want you to pick them up. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, you don't know if it has to be taught the lie. It comes natural in the flesh. But hey, I tell you what, God's folk ought not to be professional liars. Amen. Hey, it'll dominate your life. Hey, we could go on and on about different sins, but you understand this, all sin will dominate you. You cannot control it. You cannot handle it. It will wreck and ruin your life. We see sin deceives. We see sin dominates. Let me say number three, sin destroys. For when we are in this chapter, that mule, as he's riding that mule, man, everything looks good this day. He's riding along on that mule, and next thing you know, his head gets caught in that oak tree. And he's hanging there, and he can't get free. And he's left there. The mule has left him in a tree to die. It is interesting. He got hung in a tree. And when you get into the Bible, it says, cursed is every man that what? Hangeth on a tree. That's interesting. That happened that way, ain't it? Why? Because sin ends in destruction and death. For we find in this chapter, when that mule left him, mule didn't come back. He could have whistled for it to come back, called it to come back. It wasn't coming back. It had left him in that tree. Amen. But look in verse 14 through 17 in 2 Samuel 18. The Bible said, then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hands and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And the 10 young men that bare Joab's armor, I compassed about, smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Sin destroyed him. He died. I want to read you something. Look in your Bible, the book of James. James chapter 1. I want you to read with me. You young people, again, I know I'm preaching these graduates, but I'm preaching to everybody because we're all in the same boat. James chapter 1. And I'll begin reading in verse 13. Look what the Bible says to us. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. In other words, God won't tempt you to commit a sin. It'll never happen. Don't you blame the Bible for your sin. Don't you blame God for your sin. It is not the Bible's fault. It is not God's fault. Amen. Verse 14. But every man is tempted. When? Well, when is he? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That fella years ago made that little saying popular, the devil made me do it. Devil ain't never made you do hardly nothing. Your own flesh loves sin. Your own flesh dreams a whole lot of this mess up. Nobody else has to plant it there. It's just there. Amen. You're led away of your own lust and enticed. Then look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey. Understand this, the end result has always been and always will be death. It can't be nothing else. Lust is where it starts, then the sin is committed, and then death is a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something. Just as sure as the mule walked away from Absalom and left him to die, sin will take you so far and leave you to die. Sin's not your friend. Sin doesn't love you. Sin doesn't care for you. Sin is an enemy. That's right. Sin is an enemy. Oh, it'll deceive you. It'll dominate you. Hey, it'll destroy you today. I say again, you graduates, you're going to face some things now. You're going to begin getting more liberties and more freedoms to choose and do now. Be careful. Be careful. Sin has always been here, and sin will be here till the Lord puts it down finally. And you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested by sin, the devil, and your own flesh. You're going to have to be careful. Stay close to God. Live for God. If you never get plain with sin, you ain't going to get caught. You hear me? It won't happen. You don't try it the first time, it can't dominate you. And that's so with everybody in this building today and by internet. If you don't touch it the first time, it can't never dominate you. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Amen. You said, but preacher, well, I've messed up. Well, 1 John 1:9, yes, is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad he does. He will forgive you. Now, when God forgives, he forgets. He chooses to forget. It's washed in the blood. It's took care of. Amen? But I want to say something. Hear me now. Hear me. You're as forgiven as you're going to get. But that ain't done away with the consequences. Hear me? That has not done away with the consequences. You drink liquor and you eat your liver up with liquor, you can get saved. If your child of God got backslid and got your life in a mess, you can get forgiven, get up, serve God, but you ain't getting a new liver. Amen. You use drugs and you fried brain cells and you've destroyed organs of your body, your teeth rot out of your head. You ain't getting new organs, you ain't getting new teeth unless they come out at night. Amen. There's still that consequence. You say, preacher, that ain't give me all. Yes, you can be forgiven, and I want you to know that. Yes, and it's important. God does forgive, but you don't want to have all that baggage with you because you've got a memory. Amen. And those around you have a memory. You say, they ought not remember. They can't help it. You hear me? They can't help it. Don't tell me that we all supposed to forget. We can't forget. You heard me right. We can forgive, but we can't forget. You cannot undo what's in your mind. That's why, young folk, you be careful what you let in there, because it ain't getting out. And it'll come back some of the strangest moments in time, all that stuff you've let in your life. It sure will. You can get down to pray and he'll come up at you. And you'll be saying, God, help me. Lord, I've asked you, forgive me. And he'll help you get victory over it again and help you push it out and help you pray and go do what you're supposed to do for him. But I'm just trying to warn you today. Sin's an awful thing. Don't play with it. Don't toy with it. It'll wreck you. It'll ruin you. Amen. Father, thank you for the attention of your people today. I've tried my best to preach what you put on my heart for this service. I pray that, Lord, in this invitation, Lord, there'd be some saints that, Lord, have begun to be tempted would come and get victory. Lord, there'd be somebody lost come and get saved. Lord, help us today in the invitation time. Lord, I'm glad you forgive, Lord. I'm glad you forgive. I'm glad, Lord, you can help us. You can help us in this daily walk. And Lord, everything you do, we praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I want us to stand all over the church. Everybody's able to stand. Let's stand today. This altar's open. Can I say something? It'd probably do everybody good to find a place around the altar and say, God, help me. It's because sin comes everybody's way. You never get too old to sin. You're not too young to sin. As long as we're in this world, sin comes by tempting. We need to say, Lord, help me in the hour of temptation to cling to you. And if for sin, get forgiveness. Get forgiveness quick. And he'll help you dealing with all that. There is forgiveness in the Lord, and I'm glad. Sin's got a hold of your life. Come, get right with God. Live for the Lord. While we sing, yes, altar's open, folk are praying.